The scripture reading for the message of good news today is from Habakkuk chapter 1 and chapter 2. These opening words from chapter 1, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? And then the book end to those opening words are these words from chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous shall live by his faith. This is the text for the sermon today. It is hard to wait. Waiting through all of those Christmas light displays was difficult. I did not always do it well, I have to admit. Some years I was quite whiny and a real nag in the back. But in the end, we got through it. How long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? This is Habakkuk's question to God. How long while the law is paralyzed? And when justice seems so delayed it will never arrive, how long do I have to wait, God, for you to show yourself? It's a question of faith where we have confidence that God is powerful. And if God is so powerful, why does it seem like there are so many moments when I have to wait for his mercy? This question is not just a question for our days when we struggle, but it is a question that Habakkuk, the prophet, struggled with as well. Habakkuk as a book, it's one of the 12 minor prophets, these last 12 books of the Old Testament. Some of these books are so short that if you blink while you're flipping the pages, you might miss it. Habakkuk's number 8 of 12 of those minor prophets. And he was a prophet in the 7th century before Christ. Around 612 BC is when this book was written. We know that this book was written right around that time, because he is talking to God about the rising threat of the Babylonians. And they rise in power right around that time. Before the Babylonians, the Assyrians were in power. But then the Babylonians take over. And as Habakkuk looks to the horizon, he cannot find a power in this world that will be strong enough to push back against the Babylonians. He sees a power that's going to be like a tidal wave to overtake the world, and there's going to be nothing in this world that we can do about it. And he asks God, God, you're the only one that can make a difference. How long are you going to make us wait for you? This is a difficult moment for Habakkuk, because as far as his eyes will see, he can see these things happening, that God's kingdom will be destroyed, that the people will quickly lose confidence in God, and they will seek to abandon him and follow the vanity of their own pursuits, seeking rescue not by trusting in God, but trying to do it on their own. Habakkuk will see in his lifetime a wretched captivity of the world to sin. This is what fills Habakkuk's eyes when they are opened. And it becomes such a real thing for Habakkuk that he will see it even when his eyes are closed. And the people will look around and they will see a calamity and they'll see a misfortune of all that is happening. And they think, can anything else good happen? And so people along with Habakkuk are crying out, how long? And the short view of their flesh, of what their eyes can see, will make it impossible to see beyond the present struggle. Whether their eyes are opened or closed, everything that's in the field of view that they can see is despair. It's at this moment that we have to recognize that Habakkuk is not just talking about some sort of external threat named the Babylonians, or you could name it anything else. There are always going to be things around us that seem so powerful that there is no force that can contend with it. But Habakkuk, as a prophet, also recognizes that this is a danger to our heart as well. Internally, our flesh, our sinfulness, will start to see this injustice. We'll start to see our hope so delayed that our heart will no longer trust in what God has promised, and we'll start to despair. And this will have an eternal consequence. When we are hopelessly defeated, when we cannot trust in God or expect him to be merciful, then there is an eternal struggle that is happening. It's not just a worldly problem, and it's not just a problem for our hearts, but Habakkuk's question, how long, O Lord, it drives to that very wedge that can separate us between God and even one another. This is a despair that is deep. And it's a despair that was not just for Habakkuk's time. But I know there are many people, when their eyes are opened and when their eyes are closed and they try to find sleep, they yet still despair. What hope is there in these moments? This is hard. Because for Habakkuk, he looks around and he will not see it in this world. And so chapter 2 says he's going to stand at his post like a watchman and wait and trust that God has to have an answer. And finally, God says that I have an answer. Make it plain on tablets. Write it down on a tablet so big that the one who runs can read it. I was thinking about that image of how big of a font does it need to be. And I've been thinking about when I run on my treadmill, I have to slow it down to about a 3 to read something. Sometimes I might get an email and I'll try to read it as I'm running and I can't. I've got to slow down. But God says that this vision, Habakkuk, that I'm going to give you that's filled with open promise, I want you to make it so big that the person can read it while he's running. What is that, like maybe a 60-point font? What's the point of making it so big is that when this good news finally arrives, God does not want the deliverance of this good news to be delayed. He wants it to arrive so that the one who has received this good news can run to others, and as he's running, receive it and prepare to deliver it to others. What does this good news look like? Cannot be seen with our eyes. Faith alone can know this good news. Faith alone can understand this good news. Faith alone can believe. That we can believe that though our eyes may see the destruction of our bodies and the clinging of sin to our souls, faith believes, faith trusts that we will be brought back in body and soul by Christ and with Christ, because he is the one that has seen us in our suffering. He is the one that has joined that cry of Habakkuk to be his own cry with us. When Habakkuk cries, "How long, O Lord," we hear from the cross our Savior cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when we see Habakkuk with his eyes only be able to see despair, we see our Savior upon that cross look out at a world of sin and shame that has brought him to this sacrifice and see only despair. But then when Christ dies and breathes his last, and he's taken and placed into that tomb, and it may look like the good news is so delayed that it will never arrive. When the women arrive at that tomb, and they are invited by the angel to go into the tomb and see the place where he lay, that he is risen, just as he said, this good news is so clear for them, it's as if it was written on a tablet large enough that they will be able to read it as they run. Because that's what they do. Then they go and they deliver this good news to the disciples. I want each of you to know that God knows about your suffering. He knows your cry. He knows what it means to cry out, "How long? How long do I have to wait?" Because that is a cry that's been on his own lips as Jesus suffered with us upon that cross. And as it's not just that God knows about your suffering, though. He has suffered with us in such a way that as he is victorious in the resurrection, we can have confidence that our suffering is but temporary. That the peace that God gives to us in Jesus Christ is grander and more powerful than anything that works against us. When Habakkuk cries out, "How long?" and he sees the growing threat of the Babylonians, when we cry out, "How long?" we see the growing threat of sin and temptation. When we cry out, "How long?" we see the death of despair that comes with cancer. When we cry out to God and we see the growing sadness that builds in depression, we cry out, "How long?" I want you to know that the Lord knows this cry, because it's been the one that he has cried with us as well. And he has risen again on the third day to show that this cry is answered. When we close our eyes, when we open them, we may see yet still in this world despair. But the answer, the hope that I want to share with you, this promise that God is our Savior in Jesus Christ, that he is the one that has heard our cry and his answer has arrived. It's an answer It's an answer I can't force into your field of view. I can't force it into you to look to Jesus. But when you do find your moment of despair and you ask how long, I want you to trust in the work of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures to deliver to you that good news. We see how this happens in the 2 Timothy reading we have. 1 Timothy, you know, there's two letters to Timothy. There's 1 Timothy and there's 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy is Paul's writing to this young pastor. It's just sprightly. It's full of joy. Timothy's at his new call and everything's going great. Time passes. 2 Timothy, he's writing to burned out, just gritty Timothy, where he just wants to give up. He's like, how much longer do I have to serve in this place with the people you've given to me, God? And Paul writes to Timothy and says, Timothy, I want you to remember the faith of your grandmother. I want you to remember the faith of your mother. I want you to remember that is the same faith that I know that you have. In that moment when Timothy is wanting to give up, Paul says to him, remember that gift that has been given to you, Jesus Christ. This is the promise that Habakkuk then draws on. He says, the puffed up, they will not even be able to stand upright as they try to live in their own self-righteousness, their own justification. But when you are worn down and when you are so beaten that everywhere in your field of view is a force you cannot push back, when you're at that moment when whether your eyes are open or closed, you cannot see anything but despair. In that moment, have the righteousness of God. Have the trust that God is merciful and kind. Have the trust that He is the one that has sent a Savior to rescue you from these times. Habakkuk 2:4, it's an important passage. It's quoted in Romans chapter 1, in Galatians chapter 3, and in Hebrews chapter 11. It is so important that of all the prophets, this one that's just two pages, depending on how big your font is, it's quoted three times in the New Testament, that the righteousness of the people shall be their faith to God. You have the promise of God revealed to you, that He is your Savior. You have this promise that no matter what your eyes will see, your faith can see more. No matter what your steps take you into that seems dark and foreboding, know that the steps that God has taken to the cross and the tomb were as dark and foreboding as anything else. But He lives. He lives. And so we shall live as well. May this good news be so big on your heart that you can read it while you're gone and share it with others. In the name of Jesus. Amen.